That's certainly a very sobering hymn. And the older we get, the more we realize how true it is. Turn with me, please, to Luke, the 18th chapter. Now I want to read the first 14 verses. And we're going to be talking specifically this morning about the Pharisee and the publican, which is certainly not a new topic. It's one with which we are all familiar. But I can tell you that personally I return to this parable often to check my own disposition and attitude, because there's a clear message for each of us as to how we should conduct ourselves in the sight of God. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth, or the faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The first 8 verses of Luke 18 are about the unjust judge. And the purpose of this parable was to address those who saw prayer as of being of no use, unimportant, if you will. The lesson illustrated here is revealed in verse 1 of this context. Men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray. Prayer isn't a natural inclination for us, and it's necessary that the Spirit teach us concerning prayer from the Word. Prayer should evidence our faith as well as our complete dependence upon God. We're instructed by the Apostle in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and 18, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The parable of the unjust judge is stressing to us that Yahweh regards prayer and that it's instrumental and necessary to bring about results. It's effectual if it's offered in sincerity and with conviction. For example, James tells us in chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Brother Roberts writes in Nazareth Revisited, you know, concerning much of this. And he says, and this is on page 163, if you wanted to make a note of Nazareth Revisited, the argument of it, that is the unjust judge parable that we're reading here, evidently is, if an unjust man is moved by continual entreaty to do what is requested, that be requested, that he may get rid of the troublesomeness of importunity, which means persistent solicitation or even annoying or nagging. He says, how much more will God, who is kind and just, be moved by the continual requests of those he loves? And let's think about that for a moment. Our Lord is indeed moved by our continual requests if we are offering our prayer and asking those things in faith and humility. And why will he respond? Because he loves us. The unjust judge parable also highlights the importance of having patience as a believer and the need to always endure. God may be accomplishing by the sustained trials we experience the purposes of his love in subjecting us to chastisement, and we should all embrace it accordingly. And that's not easy to do. And typically we can find every reason why it's not right and why should we have to go through these things. Whatever the case, we shouldn't be discouraged at what we see as God's delayed response, but rather persevere, praying and patiently waiting with the confidence that God will do and will always do what is right. Our objective should be to have all things to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Yahweh, in due time, and most assuredly, will intervene on behalf of the believers, delivering them from all enemies and showering his goodness upon them. In that, we can have every confidence. Let's now focus on the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. It immediately follows the parable of the unjust judge on the duty and the responsibility that's involved in prayer. Prayer must be offered in humility and with the right mindset. The parable begins with the Pharisee, one who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. It ends with the words, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. These two men evidence what was in their heart. The Pharisee, who had built a strong human reputation for his accomplishments, was certainly pleased with what he had done, thinking very highly of himself. The publican, on the other hand, whom the Pharisee and his lot saw as having no value, as even being repugnant to them, humbly acknowledged his dependence upon God's mercy. Undoubtedly colored by their thinking, one of their prayers was acceptable and the other was obnoxious. Let's take a moment to review the character and approaches of these two men. First, the Pharisee. And interestingly, this is covered very well in the Acts Expositor, and we're going to be talking about that as we progress in our class. Pharisee in the Greek is from the word pharesh, P-H-A-R-A-S-H, which means to separate or to set apart, which we can see as a positive if they were doing things in conjunction with the will of God. But they were noted for their extremism, supposedly respecting every jot and tittle of the law. Their actions, their doctrines, and their traditions, Christ described as spiritual blindness. Please turn with me to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, and let's pick up at verse 1. And Christ is very explicit in his comments here. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. On page 437 of the Acts Expositor, we have this recorded. It's a very good summary of their beliefs. The false doctrine of the Pharisees was based upon the teaching that, one, the world is governed by fate. Two, souls are immortal. Three, the dead are raised. Four, there are good and bad angels. Five, Jews are a chosen race. And six, judgment is based on an identification with the merits of Abraham. And we know that very few of those are actually true or consistent with the gospel. Perhaps only one. The Pharisees were proud. They were haughty. They were self-righteous, holding the common people in disrespect, easily finding fault with those other than themselves. They were hypocrites, they were covetous and pompous, and the Pharisee in our parable is no exception. Christ says in Luke 12:1, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And let's note some of the Lord's other comments. Let's go to Luke 11. Luke 11, picking up at verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, "Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and Passover judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne. And then down in verse 52, another woe, which was the sixth woe that he pronounced upon them. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. I'd like to share a quote from Brother Williams from The World's Redemption relative to the Pharisees, and in it he alludes to Luke 18 and this parable. He says, the deriding Pharisees were a self-righteous class who considered themselves not as other men, quoting Luke 18, but as being whole and righteous. Our Lord did not always take the time to tell them what they were, but for the sake of argument, granted them their claims and gave them an ironical answer. Hence, perceiving their thoughts when they said, Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God? And when they found fault because he ate with publicans and sinners, he said, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The reason why he so answered them and spake to them in parables, he said, was because in them was fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. The Pharisee in our parable, we're told in verse 11 of Luke 18, stood and prayed thus with himself, which in and of itself is pretty revealing. His prayer was not really focused on God. It was self-focused, and as a result, it had no significance or efficacy. He compares himself to others, taking pride in that he sees himself not as an extortioner, unjust, or an adulterer, or even like this publican. I fast twice in the week, which is above and beyond the requirements. I give tithes of all that I possess, of all my volume. Only he, in his mind's eye, is exemplary. But again, only in his eyes and not God's. This Pharisee has no cognizance of the trials and difficulties, nor the efforts and attainments of others. That's a very important point. Brother Aaron and I were talking this past week about this parable, and one of the things he mentioned, and very appropriately, is that those individuals that the publican would have come into contact with, he would have come to know. He would have appreciated their plight. He would have seen their efforts and their engagement. Unlike the blind Pharisee. We know that these actions of the Pharisee, are actions and motivations that are driven solely by pride. And let's look at a couple of references there relating there too. Let's go to Proverbs, and these are all in Proverbs. Proverbs, the 11th chapter. Proverbs 11, and let's read verses 2 and 12 First, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Then jumping down to verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Let's go to the 13th chapter, picking up at verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. He that gathereth by labor shall increase. Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. In contrast to this Pharisee, who was the publican? The publican we know was a tax collector, a Jewish tax collector, a position that was often known for its greed, deceit, heartlessness, and certainly not righteousness. This individual in this position was certainly not respected by the masses. But in the case of this publican, there is a difference, because this wasn't true of him in our parable. He, standing afar off, thereby demonstrating his humility and his self-abasement. He did not approach closely, but he stood afar off. The publican's eyes were to the ground, with no doubt a bowed head, uncomfortable with himself in the presence of the Heavenly Father. The eyes are down in shame and humility, recognizing readily his inadequacy and his insignificance in the sight of God. What a wonderful and desirable spirit. The smiting of the breast signifies to display one's grief and remorse in a demonstrative manner. The publican clearly knew who he was and who he wasn't. The publican appeals for Yahweh's mercy, acknowledging himself as a sinner. And of course, such should be our disposition and approach. Note the prayer of David concerning mercy. It's very similar to the words of the publican. Let's go to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And let's begin at verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O God, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. And remember in verse 3, for I cry unto thee daily. Remember the unjust judge and the lesson there. For God will respond to the righteous. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. Let's consider also, while we're here in Psalms, Psalm 57. Verses 1 through 3. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. And one last reference in Psalms, Psalm 119, starting at verse 57. 119 and verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. We learn in verse 14 of Luke 18 that the publican went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. Why was this the case? Why? Because he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Turn with me, please, to James, the 5th chapter. James 5, and we'll pick up at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples or examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud that giveth grace and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's also turn to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Colossians 3, picking up at verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And while we're here in James, or let's go back to James, excuse me. We're close here. Let's go back to James 4. And pick up at verse 6. But he giveth more grace, or greater grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And just one last reference, let's go back to the Psalms, Psalm 10. Psalm 10, and we'll start at verse 12. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn them, or condemn them? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. I'd like to quote again from Brother Roberts in Nazareth Revisited. He says, a man whose eyes are open, a man who understands things as they are, has such a sense of the eternal power, greatness, and holiness of God, and the ephemerality and weakness and sinfulness of man, that his own attainments, however excellent by comparison with bad men, as this Pharisee compared himself to the publican, must always appear, regardless of what we've accomplished, it must always appear as nothing in his eyes. His own righteousness must appear to him, that is, the individual, as filthy rags in the light of the purity and the power and the correctness of spirit nature. This is the estimate that the scriptures always put into the mouths of acceptable men. The greatest example of faith, of obedience and humility, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's note what Paul says in Philippians, the second chapter. For he has said it very well. Philippians 2, starting at verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I'd like to close with these remarks on the Pharisee and the publican, or these remarks that I've shared with you on the Pharisee and the publican. I'd like to close with the words of Christ in Matthew 18 and Luke 14. Let's go to Matthew 18, please. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And you'll remember that in Luke 18, you know, Christ speaks very similar words concerning the humility of a child. And lastly, let's turn to Luke, the 14th chapter. And we'll close with this. Luke 14, verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. Our memorial hymn is hymn 106. Loving shepherd of thy sheep, keep thy lambs in safety keep. Nothing can thy power withstand. None can pluck them from thine hand. Hymn 106.